who was responsible for the Holocaust, and they'll answer naturally the Nazis were. But should others accept some of the responsibility? Here's Phil Donahue in Chicago.
While 6 million of their brothers and sisters were going to their deaths in the Holocaust in World War II, what were American Jews doing about this? Perhaps not enough, say some very powerful Jewish citizens of this country. Not surprisingly, their suggestion that American Jewry did not rise to the emergency of the moment has created great divisions among Jews in this country and around the world. A commission studying this very question features no less a person than former Supreme Court Justice Arthur Goldberg. We'll talk about both sides of this with a rabbi and a survivor of the Holocaust in a moment on The Last Word.
Protesters got little or no action in Washington, or even much support from some of the established Jewish leaders who said those activists didn't represent the Jewish community. Now, there's a controversial commission which has found that the American Jews who didn't listen to those protesters might share some of the blame for what happened in the Holocaust. Here's Phil Donahue.
First, this note, the commission on which former Supreme Court Justice Arthur Goldberg served, exploring what Jews did or did not do in this country at the time of the Holocaust, has released some preliminary findings, including the fact that American Jews did not do all they could have. The commission quickly adds that it's probable they couldn't have done much more. How much did they know? How much power did they have? What was really expected of American Jews who must have been having difficulty themselves surviving, many of them as foreign-born or first-generation Americans in this country? Jack Eisner has taken as militant a position on this matter as anybody who surfaced so far. In fact, he resigned from that commission because he felt that the commission itself was bowing to powerful American Jews who did not want this untoward publicity directed at Jews, especially at a time when the Jews are undergoing this painful self-examination regarding the Middle East and Lebanon now. How do you know the American Jews didn't do enough, Mr. Eisner?
It is quite obvious that let me state something from the outset that is deeply embedded in my mind and in my heart, that while millions were slaughtered in German death factories, the world was looking with indifference. The State Department of those days was outright anti-Semitic. The White House was indifferent. The British government was indifferent. But American Jewry was not indifferent. They were concerned. They were deeply concerned, but they were divided, disorganized, in fear of their own fate, the what I call galut in diaspora mentality of lay low, don't drag your own boat, don't bring out anti-Semites. And that demobilized them, and they failed in rescuing efforts that could have saved hundreds of thousands.
What could they have done in an anti-Semitic country administered by an anti-Semitic government, as you alleged?
It was not an anti-Semitic country. There were millions and millions of noble and beautiful Gentiles. As the small, tiny Bergson group has found allies in the Congress that were non-Jews, and the American Jewish community has failed to mobilize itself and failed to mobilize millions upon millions of beautiful, good Christians.
Meet one of the most influential spokesmen in the American Jewish community today. He's Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum, American Jewish Committee in New York, the National Interreligious Director, considered one of the foremost Jewish ecumenical leaders. The Jews in the 40s in this country, in effect, rallied around the banner, "Don't make trouble." That's what Mr. Eisner is saying. How do you feel about that?
Well, given the magnitude of a Holocaust, a savage massacre of 6 million Jews, none of us did enough. But American Jewish organizations, I think, did, in the context, far more than have been acknowledged.
Well, he's already willing to grant that, Rabbi. So let us grant that a lot of courageous people did stand up, and there were wonderful signs of resistance and efforts to fix this in this country. But he's in effect saying a significant and an embarrassing percentage of Jews in this country stood there.
The major problem Jewish leadership faced was the indifference, in some cases deception, of an otherwise great president, FDR, and Secretary of Cordell Hull, who refused to register any protest, saying we have no right to interfere in the internal affairs of Nazi Germany. Jewish organizations had only the American government to rely on to make those interventions.
Are you here to say then, let's not worry about this? This is not worth exploration?
No, I'm saying that, in fact, this issue has begun to be explored seriously and responsibly by Jewish scholars. And my protest against the most recent attack on Jewish leadership is that it's reckless, irresponsible, and in some cases demagogic.
Attack on what Jewish leadership? The 40s?
Well, first of all, it has been said, without any evidence, that my group, for example, the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, the B'nai B'rith, etc., brought pressure to bear on Justice Goldberg to revise the report in order to show them looking better than they did. No one has submitted a scintilla of evidence that that has happened.
And that's why you quit, Mr. Eisner. You said that you felt that the people on the committee were buckling to powerful American Jews who didn't want another negative commission report regarding Jews.
The main symbol of it, the main promise was let the chips fall where they may. Later it turned out, as I saw it happening, let the chips fall where we want them to fall.
I must disagree. Wait a minute, why did you quit, Mr. Eisner? Why would a man like you, who cares so passionately, a man who has seen the darkest side of life as a Holocaust survivor, hang in there with him? Why quit?
I refuse to finance a commission that its chairman arbitrarily declared that he will not hire any research team, academicians and historians.
You're talking about
Justice Goldberg, and he himself will write a paper. Now, that was not the aim, and I therefore refused to finance it.
Here are the findings. American Jews did not do all they could have. That doesn't sound like a whitewash. That's a preliminary finding.
That is one small, tiny segment of what the American Jewish community failed at. Right. We want not to condemn or convict anybody. I, as a survivor, want my grandchildren to learn the mistakes of their grandparents.
That's the reason for this, is it?
The whole reason is to learn from history.
Rabbi has suggested, have you not, Rabbi, that there may be a shade of anti-Semitism here, and the media focus on this issue may itself be anti-Semitic. What do you think?
Are you concerned about that?
I
think one of the consequences already that has come out of these sweeping charges that American Jewish leaders in the first draft of the report knew everything that was going on and did virtually nothing has led to a situation where several Christian leaders who have been confronted with the issue of what does the Vatican do, for example, what does the Catholic Church do, have come back to me now and in writing have said, since American Jewish leaders have done nothing, how can you come to us and ask us about the Christian world? I don't think we realize the consequences of the damaging aspect of that report as it came out in its first draft.
We are in Chicago for the last word, and we'll be back in just a moment. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'd like to know really what the plan of the investigation is. It sounds to me like it's laying a lot of guilt on the Jews for what they didn't do. Why isn't the point simply what happened and what can we do in the future so that doesn't happen again?
The first thing we must do is to diagnose what happened and how did we behave, what did we fail to do in order for the future to learn to prevent. You must know what you did and what you failed to do.
Okay, well, if that is the point, how Jews are accountable does not sound like it's making that point. It sounds really, once again, like it's trying to lay a lot of guilt on the Jews for what happened.
I think that's exactly what happened in the first draft.
That's really bad PR, in my opinion. I think it's a very important issue to avoid this type of issue.
A healthy nation does not need PR. We can face our ethics and morals squarely, ourselves at the mirror.
But your timing couldn't have been worse. Do we have agreement on that, Mr. Eisner? We've got the Jews out there in public with all kinds of self-examination and acknowledgement of guilt at a time when the phalangists are apparently not examining anything, and they're the ones that pulled the trigger.
That's why the Jewish nation has 4,000 years of history of ethics and morals. The timing is perfect.
I have great respect for Mr. Eisner. We have engaged in self-examination years before he came onto the scene. I can name you a dozen studies of Jewish leadership with scholars chapter and verse. I have a couple of them here. The point is that we have sought to examine what went wrong with a view toward learning how we cannot repeat that episode again now. But you don't do that on the front page of the New York Times with wild demagogic charges, which make sweeping condemnations, which paralyze you from doing the job that needs to be done.
So you think the commission is a good idea? You're upset with Mr. Eisner's leave.
I serve on.
And you're upset at his leave taking and his public denunciation of it.
I am upset over the whole issue being discussed in terms of whether Jack Eisner is giving money or whether Arthur Goldberg is going to pay for it. That is an obscenity in the face of the Holocaust.
I must correct the rabbi that I did not bring this issue to the forefront of the New York Times. I did not report it at all.
Justice Goldberg at first suggested that you quit the commission and withdrew your financial support of the commission because you felt they were buckling the powerful Jews.
That is correct, but I did not take it to the Times to publicize it. But I am not upset about publicity at all. I think the great tragedy of the German nation, two tragedies. The first tragedy at the crime they're perpetrated on millions of children in death factories. The second tragedy for Germany is that they're failing now to look at themselves and teach their children the lessons of the past.
There are millions of faithful, proud Jews out there who want to know, where is the New York Times with its detailed reports about the massacres in other parts of the world? India. The suggestion is that somehow Jewish sins are the most public sins, are the most analyzed sins. And then throw in a few disputes within the Jewish community, and they say...
There's nothing unusual about that. We have given monotheism.
I'm very much dismayed by the tenor of this program. I don't really like the entire topic. The point is, the Holocaust...
Didn't discuss it.
The Holocaust has... We should discuss the Holocaust. We should discuss what its meaning is. We should discuss the fact that anti-Semitism kills.
But we shouldn't discuss the possibility that the Jewish community...
We should discuss what lessons we can learn that had there been a state of Israel, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands might have been. The Jews learned this lesson and now know they're devoted to the state of Israel.
I understand.
Unity about it.
What's wrong with discussing it?
Because it is fruitless to decide whether or not someone really, back in 1942, really knew, understood, assimilated the entire matter. And besides, let's wait for the scholars.
I completely disagree that it's fruitless. I do not think the Jewish organizations that are so much, very much needed, not against establishment, have learned their lesson. They were years and generations behind in the 40s. They have lived since then in a country club atmosphere. They are not prepared to adversity. Judaism knows in its 2,000 years of history
The response of the Jewish community in the United States to the defense of the state of Israel, what we have done to help save 3 million Soviet Jews, have gotten 250,000 out, all of that is what we have learned from the Nazi Holocaust. We're verging on, in this debate, scapegoating Jewish leadership, which means to paralyzing Jewish leadership. And incidentally, no one has has a monopoly on virtue, Jack. I will stake my life in terms of what my group and what I personally have done in terms of Israel and Soviet Jews and the lessons we have learned to deal with anti-Semitism in this country and Latin America. And I don't need anybody to stand in judgment to tell me that I'm totally deficient. The real issue is how do we deal
with the
issue
deficient. Rabbi, he did not say.
But the response that is coming through is Jewish organizations were bankrupt. They did nothing. And that's severe law.
But they didn't do enough. The commission itself, on which you serve.
But nobody did it.
All right. But let's look at the other side of this. If you are going to condemn those who attempt, and let's give him the benefit of his point here. He doesn't get any more joy than you do out of this kind of publicity. But he thinks the exposure of the possibility that there may have been inertia in the 40s ensures that it won't happen again. Now, that's not a bad point.
It's a question of how the discussion is done. If the discussion is done on the basis of scapegoating...
But can you possibly...
You can do it.
Can you examine something this incendiary without inevitably having the...
Well, I think there's a responsibility of leadership to try to do that.
Excuse me, you know what you've done, Mr. Eisner? You've shifted the focus of the attack from those who were guilty directly and indirectly to the safe scapegoat, a traditional scapegoat of the Jew. And historically, that's a very safe scapegoat. And when you speak of a ghetto mentality, that is definitely a ghetto mentality.
I disagree with you because the state of Israel has now done the most healthy, the most finest moral thing it could do, and looking at itself, it does not shift the guilt towards the Christian phalanges who did the killing, actually.
But look how it conducted its report, and look how this is being done.
The difference is that a sovereign state with power can make those kind of statements.
You
did not have that in the 40s. There was a weak community in the United States. There's no question of that. That had to appeal to a government that was foreign to itself. to save its own people somewhere else.
It did not pressure the government enough. We did not see hundreds of thousands of Jewish people marching on the streets of New York or Chicago, Los Angeles protesting.
Well,
we did not see that.
Is it possible that your decision to publicly disassociate yourself from this commission, given the natural consequences of its inquiry and the emotional shockwave that it generates, aren't you sorry you did that?
I did not publicly disassociate myself.
Well, how are you going to leave the commission without that inevitably winding up on the front page of the New York Times?
The Arthur Goldberg, this justice, could have proceeded with finding other backers without
giving it to the Did you pull your money out? Did you?
Yes, I did financially pull out, but I did not announce it to the press at all.
These people are saying this is painful enough without this kind of internecine squabble.
There's a larger issue. It is the question of the role of our government, of the State Department, of the British, of the Vatican, of a whole world that had the capacity to save Jews who failed.
And
by concentrating on the Jewish community, we are in fact saying that it's Jewish leadership
and
that is primarily responsible.
And you failed
which
to pressure
is the make the victim
yes.
responsible for the victimization.
You have failed to exert...
Let's give Mr. Eisner
the You have failed to exert sufficient pressure on the State Department and President
Jack,
Roosevelt.
You were in Europe then. I was here then. You don't know what went on in the United States.
You're only reading textbooks. I wonder whether tomorrow or 5 years from now, the United States government will be against Israel, how much guts and courage you will have
Jack,
to stand up
for the issues. I regret to say that.
And unless you learn the experience of the past...
We are not going to learn it this way.
This is the only way to learn.
You'll paralyze the Jewish community.
No, not at all. I think this self-examination is the healthiest thing
that we're doing that without this kind of distorted publicity.
And we no longer are the Jew of the pre-Holocaust state that we are afraid of sometimes.
The American Jews, thank God, have learned from the Holocaust.
I have time only to thank all of our guests. This is Phil Donahue for The Last Word in Chicago. Now back to Greg in New York.
Thank you, Phil. Now, no connection to that commission, but you may recall plans were announced in Washington just last week for a major museum and monument to honor the victims of the Holocaust. We'll be right back.